good morning. Good morning to the mountain climbers. Make sure you have that Teton set. If your rope is frayed, if your knot is loose, if your saddle is tight, you better feel the bite. Good morning to mountain climbers. It is Sunday, December the 29th, 2024, Boblimpdoc. There aren't that many shopping days left till grinkin' time. You better look out for those special sales. I'd be on the watch for 50 and 100 gallon steel drums because, you know, you can use those for lots of things, buddy. You can store food. You could store books. You could store other things that go to the farm. And then you can pickle. You can get into pickling. And you can pickle all kinds of stuff, right? It's just after 7 a.m. So I'm going to read an article from Zero Hedge, even though I try to avoid it these days. I probably won't finish the whole thing. It was authored by Dmitro Henry Alexandrov. I'd like to see his family tree. Via Headline USA. And so why don't we go to Headline USA and read it from there? You know, oh shit, I have to subscribe to Headline USA. Well then fuck me, Dmitri, you fuck. Thanks for your fucking permalink. Conservatives recently criticized Amazon for editing the iconic Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life, removing the crucial part of Frank Capra's work. In the movie, the main character George Bailey, played by Jimmy Stewart, tells his guardian angel Clarence that it would have been better for everyone if he'd never been born. After that, Clarence shows him the dark and depressing world without Bailey, without him, and that life matters and his life positively affects many people. After that, Bailey abandons the idea of committing suicide and returns home to his family and friends. So I'm going to stop here. It turns out that Amazon has created versions of It's a Wonderful Life where they don't show the dark version of reality. You know, the version of reality where George Bailey is never born, or perhaps, if we're really being honest here, the version of reality that's been the United States of America since at least March of fucking 2020. And you don't want to talk about that. Did you know, I think it was in 2020 that various streaming sites, you know, Amazon, Netflix, various sites, removed a particular episode from season two of the show Community, the one that dealt with Dungeons and Dragons, but more specifically, the one that dealt with Fat Neil wanting to kill himself. And I've thought about that. Because that show's not a conservative show, it's not a right-wing show, so why in the midst of all that fucking commie bullshit did they want to remove that episode? Well, I'll tell you something, folks. If you're going to engage in 5 years of non-stop medium to high-intensity military, and I should say strategic, military psychological warfare against your own people and probably much of the fucking planet, and the flavor you're using is mainly trauma-based mind control, I don't know how to phrase this, brothers and sisters, but you can read my manifesto, Danifesto. I believe there's a chapter on psychological warfare. Eventually, people are going to give up the lie. and live their own lives and free themselves, or they're going to go so crazy, they're going to want to kill themselves or other people. That's the outcome. Adrenal fatigue, madness, or you give up on the bullshit. You don't get suckered again. If they tell you there's a magical bird flu taking out people in a place you've never been to, maybe you should ask the question, is this shit really happening? And to me, the crucial question is, wouldn't the movie It's a Wonderful Life had been simply better if they changed the title? It's a Wonderful Lie. Isn't it, folks? It's a wonderful lie that Hollywood tells. It's a wonderful lie that LA sells. You can be famous. You can be rich. You can marry that hot bitch and have a little child. It's a wonderful lie. It's been a wonderful lie since the end of World War II. And the lie really did start to fall apart during the Vietnam War, but it really didn't completely disintegrate until 9/11. Just like those planes that magically vaporized, you know, and at the same time, magically vaporized and took out, you know, buildings that, well, are steel framed and have never been taken out in the history of steel frame buildings the way that they were taken out, you know, with fire. That's never happened. But one could argue that, yeah, the very moment that World Trade Center 7, if you know, you know, fell into its footprint hours after the planes hit the other buildings, you could say that it was over. And it was a wonderful lie. It was. But it's over. I do not believe people should harm themselves or harm others. I don't. But I also, you know, I drink too much. And I'm trying to moderate it because I'm trying to give a shit, although that takes a lot every fucking day of the week now. It takes a lot for me to pray. It takes a lot for me to get over my pride and simply pray, but it takes a lot for me to give a shit. It's a wonderful lie. It's like the Bill of Rights. It's a wonderful fucking lie, but once you see through it, you realize it's lipstick on a pig. But it's a wonderful lie. We're the good guys. And they're the bad guys, right? Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, although it's not going to roll off the tongue that easy, so I'm going to drink some coffee, fucker. Zbigniew Brzezinski once said, "It is easier to kill a million people than to control a million people." But do you know what's easier than that, you fuck? To let some calamity, some fucking disaster, some fucking super volcano take out the millions for you. It's the number one hit going back 7,000 years specifically. If you know, you know. This is a thing. I know of a particular podcaster. And I won't dox this person because I don't see the point. This particular podcaster, I have been listening to this person's podcast for 10 years almost. And I really do think it's entirely plausible that the person I'm thinking of is real. That they're not a sheepdog, they're not a manipulator, they're not placed there to feed you a bunch of bullshit along with a little bit of truth, but they're actually telling the truth to the extent that they understand it. The problem is this particular podcaster does a couple things that irk me. This particular podcaster talks about the monkey herpes in an unironic way. You know, like it was fucking real. And the same guy keeps quoting Brzezinski over and over again, like it's some type of brilliant fucking statement. But from a shithead who went to college a few times and therefore got mind-fucked and paid for it, and as someone who's fairly, you know, well-informed from the Brookings Institution, Rand Corporation, you name it, those particular publishing agencies, Princeton University Press, Harvard. Brzezinski is the ultimate mindfucker. I would never take anything he said in public seriously, because I think he did a lot of that on purpose. When he would say things like, oh, it's so easy to kill a million people. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to sell a particular story there, Zvig, you probably do need to say that. But what's even easier than killing a bunch of people is to simply let a natural disaster or an engineered disaster do it for you. And the number one hit, and I've said it before, the number one hit going back thousands of years, and that's why they probably still do it today, except for up until this decade, it was the micro scale. The number one hit is famine. Step one, you blame the poor for why Rome is burning. That's step one. And boy, that's been going on for a while. Hey, Professor Hansen, since 1988, Blimptoc, right? And then step two is to engineer all of the failures in the ecosystem. And back in the day, they would simply spread salt about. Did you know that? And do you think it's that different today when you look up at the fucking sky? When you see what they're doing, and you can see it with your own fucking eyes if you have eyes to see. The number one hit is famine, and the number one thing to do is to blame the poor people for why Rome burns. It is the oldest fucking story, but a lot of people are fucking dumb and don't understand that it's not just a number one hit, it never stopped being a number one hit, except for this is the decade when the hit goes platinum worldwide, everywhere, all at once. Occam's razor. Do you have hundreds or thousands of these bio-fucking labs, which, by the way, if you've ever worked around a fucking county hospital and know anything about epidemiology, you would probably figure out pretty soon that if a superbug comes into existence, it's going to come from the county hospital, dipshit. It's not going to come from one of these bio labs. I'm sorry. That's wishful thinking. But Occam's razor, folks, why would they do that? Why would they quite literally do a Dr. Evil sharks with lasers? Because that's really what the COVID looked like to me. Sharks with fucking lasers. Why would they do that when famine does it for you? Famine creates chaos. Famine is predictable. If you don't have food, even if you have water, after about maybe at most 2 months, and that's if you're really healthy and have a little extra fat, maybe it's 3 months, but you're simply going to be dead. And in the last few weeks, you won't be doing nothing. You won't be threatening people. You won't be attacking people. Though there will be a nuggety center between week 3 and probably week 6 where you potentially become a crazy person and maybe even a cannibal. But the bottom line is this. Most people are dead within 6 months. And if it's a worldwide famine, that means, yeah, within a year, you could wipe out about 80% of everybody. Just by there being just no fucking food. And if you add in what people do, like I said, week number 3 to week number 6, that's chaos, that's rapine, that's theft, that's breaking into houses, that's going to sleep, hearing your kids crying to sleep because they're too fucking hungry, and that's waking up the next day and thinking about braining your neighbor because you want to feed your fucking kids. I would never quote Zbigniew Brzezinski unironically. I would never quote him as a source of anything other than evil. The fact that this particular podcaster likes to use this quote a lot is suspect to me. because he claims to be an intelligent guy who digs deep. But if you're quoting that fucking quote from that neocon prototypical piece of shit fascist, then you're some type of dumb shit. Yeah, it's probably easy to kill a million people. If you're going to sell a certain post-World War II story, you better sell that too. But what's really fucking easy is to either let a natural disaster kill a bunch of people or to basically trigger it. And it's not a new story. You know? In fact, yeah. Anyways, I got a couple links to some articles that deal with hunger right now. And I include polluted food as part of a famine. It's not just that in a famine, how can I phrase this? It's not just that in a famine there is no food. It's a little bit more subtle than that. In this particular case, it's also a question of polluted food. You know, Norman Borlaug food, really, really crappy diabetes cancer food, that kind of fucking food. A famine is coming, folks. I knew this several years ago. When it hits here is a question mark, but it's already hitting in a lot of places. And for it to become worldwide, well, according to the World Food Program, last year, just under a billion people had food insecurity. And frankly, I don't trust government numbers. So if the number's supposed to be low, you should add something to it. So let's call it 1.5 billion. Because that's my accurate interpretation. You know, my optimistic, nice fucking interpretation of government bullshit. If the number's supposed to be low, then it's probably worse. If the number's supposed to be high, it's probably lower. That is exactly what they do. It's called goal seeking. So, yeah, if they say, you know, around 800 million, I would round it up to 1.5 billion. And that's not including the fact that the food is adulterated. It's poison in a lot of cases. Now, you tell me what's going to kill you. Magical fucking sharks with lasers, viruses from the hundreds of biolabs? Or just good old fashioned, there ain't no fucking food to eat. And the food you got is killing you anyways. Yeah. Next topic. Oh boy, there was a headline in an article and I read part of it because I needed to vomit in my mouth. The title of the article on Zero Hedge was Al-Qaeda's winning the new caliphate in Syria. Al-Qaeda has been an invention, a machine of the Mossad and the CIA since the 1970s. Al-Qaeda was created by the CIA and the Mossad. Al-Qaeda was used basically to topple a guy by the name of Colonel Gaddafi. Al-Qaeda was used to topple a guy by the name of Saddam Hussein. Al-Qaeda was used to topple a guy quite recently, you know, by the name of Assad. Now, tell me what the fuck you think you know about Al-Qaeda. Yeah, they've been winning when they need to win, and they've been losing when they need to lose. And if you happen to be a high-level leader of Al-Qaeda, you're going to get a naval burial at sea. That's funny, right? Except for that's what happened to Saddam, you know, not Saddam Hussein, but Osama bin Laden, right? He got buried at sea in 2011 by Obama. Somber, sad. Buried at sea, I think roughly a year before the election, right? Oh, Obama. What a hero. Except you'd think if there's a crime, we would investigate. Supposedly, President Obama went to law school. So it seems like we would investigate crimes. What's funny about 9/11 is our government spent almost no time investigating it and a lot of fucking resources burying evidence. I'm not saying that means anything. You meditated on, you know, meditate on that yourself, you fuck. But this is a dumb fucking headline. Like, Zero Hedge produces really stupid headlines these days. This is really the R word. Bad. Bad. Next topic. I'm going to read a quote from a Times of India, India Times article. Actually, I'm just going to read the article. And then we'll come to the quote. This is the Times of India, India Times. Headline, New York City subway horror. Why no one stopped illegal immigrant accursed, accused. Illegal immigrant accused. I wanted to say accursed. Woman burned alive while bystanders. You know, I'm not even going to read the fucking article. It's too depressing to read. There was an incident on December the 22nd at Stillwell Avenue Station, Sunday morning. A man by the name of Sebastian lit another person, a woman, ostensibly a homeless woman, on fire. Now, there are a couple features of the story, and you can read as much of it as you want to. A friend of mine sent me a video. There's a video in the notes. And as I've said in the past, you need to really be critical of these stories because they could be true, they could be false, they could be something in between. You remember George Floyd? I mean, I think lots of people had videos of that Chauvin guy, Derek, with his knee on the back of George, smiling and smiling, with a good cop next by. That good cop was right next by as George Floyd slowly died. His neighbors were filming. They were filming as hard as they could. And I remember a dude back in 2020, let's just call him Thursday, the world's gonna end, dude. And he would come up with fucking excuses. Well, damn, they can't fight against the cops. There's nothing they can do against the cops. Well, okay, until you show me another fucking video where they do whatever they want to do against the cops, and I say they, I don't mean a color of skin or ethnicity. I mean people who are basically the target of our wrath, our calumny that particular day. And they could be homeless people, they could be minorities, they could be women, they could be men, they could be white, they could be black, but we'll have a particular target on that particular day. Where, you know, someone we're supposed to hate. Our 2 minutes of hate. Right now, most of our minutes are you know... You remember back in the day when people would talk about their phone minutes, their long distance minutes? Most of our minutes right now are being used on two groups of people: illegal immigrants and homeless people. This is not accidental. If you've been listening to my podcast since before Bo Blimp Doc, you know that I've seen this building narrative of dehumanizing homeless people. And again, I'm not saying homeless people are saints. I'm fairly certain on average they're better people than you would find at the U.S. House of Representatives. I'll say that. Probably way fucking better. So, no, they're not saints, but again, they're probably a distribution of society. Some of them are crooks, criminals, probably killers and rapists, drug addicts and crazy. And I would guess at least half are simply people who fell off the social radar and are heading very fast to that singularity that leads to crazy and drug addicted and criminal. There are pictures in the video of people just watching as this woman burns alive. One has to wonder about the people who watched the dude set her on fire. I know enough about flammable material to know that just because a person looks like they're burning to death doesn't mean they are. And if somebody had taken their coat or a couple coats and tried to smother it, they might have saved the woman's life, right? But this story could be bullshit. It is 5 years into what I call Bo Blimp Doc. And the fact that more people aren't losing it and going crazy is surprising. So if the story is true, then it's not just about the weird immigrant dude that's our target of hate today. It's about the people that watched, to include the cops who simply watched as this woman burned alive. And I don't think people give a fuck. I think a lot of people on that subway saw one homeless person victimizing another. And in that Daniel Penny sense, they don't give a fuck. Why not strangle them all? Why not murder them all? They remind us of what's coming. I don't want to see it, Dan. I don't want to see it. You have a neighbor 5 blocks away. You live in a nice neighborhood. Maybe it's someplace in, I don't know, California or Washington State or Kentucky. You have a neighbor 5 blocks away. They used to have a job. Their life used to work. In a few months, they're going to load up into a van. All their stuff sold. They're going to go from one place to the next for a few months, wearing out their welcome. A year from now, they're going to be in some jungle. That's a term of art for a place where the homeless people go. Every city has one now. And it's a moving bazaar, because periodically you put on a show. You go to the ghetto. You load up the Cossacks, right? The Cossacks, because we're into those czars now. We got drug czars, so why don't we have the good old, you know, the Cossacks, right? And they do a pogrom. That's what it is. The cops go to the jungle, they knock down tents, they take what little crap most of these people have, and yeah, I'd wager half of them are there because of reality, you fuck. A reality you don't want to see with your own fucking eyes. Which, if you don't, you should leave the fucking city, dumbass, but I can't tell you that anymore. It's too late for you. Yeah, we do a little pogrom with the Cossacks. Like it's Fiddler on the fucking Roof, and the jungle moves someplace else. That's the family you invited to a barbecue 5 years ago. That's the family that you'll see on the street. You might even recognize the mom or the dad, because the kids got lost in the machine. They were killed by the Child Protective Services, ironically named pedo machine. They were sent to a foster care to be raped and abused. Yeah, the kids were lost. So you just see the mom or the dad with a fifth of whiskey. That's like a couple years from now. And then you say to yourself, well, fuck, they must have been a loser to begin with. Don't worry, pal. The reason why you don't care if the woman burns to death, and that's the silent part that I'm saying, is because you don't want to see what's coming. But it is. It's coming, buddy. Zbigniew knew it. Zbigniew knew it. I bet his kids know it. They seem like nasty neocon deep state pieces of shit. I should say creep state. Yeah, the creep state, folks. That's what I'm going to call it from now on, the creep state. I don't want to call it the deep state, because it ain't that fucking deep, not in the philosophical sense. But in terms of being giant pieces of shit, it's the creep state. Oh, yeah. How do you like Donald, right? Next topic. Here's a pro tip. A huge life hack. Pour depleted uranium down your drain. Here's a life hack. Do you have problems? Take them, shove them up your butt, and then pour them down the drain. Dan, what are you talking about? See what happens when you do this crazy ass shit. So in the notes, I have a link to a couple of podcasts. They're both from late 2019. Yada, yada, yada. If you want to listen to them, you can. Here's another headline from Zero Hedge that I thought Sovietologically interesting. There is no pardoning the Biden administration. Oh, boy. Yeah, folks, after Trump's magical 2020, I don't know what do you expect me to think of that guy? You want me to say nice things about Dan? He couldn't do... I know. He couldn't do nothing. And you shitheads are already writing essays. You're already putting stuff on Epic Times saying he probably can't do nothing this time. Wow. You're doing your work, buddy. Yeah, you know, the Biden administration is a disaster, and it was on purpose. Trump was a disaster. It was on purpose. Obama was a fucking disaster, and I don't know how to shock you, or I will shock you, or maybe your IQ is not just double digits and it won't shock you. It was on purpose, folks, and it wasn't personal, as I said the other day. Yeah. Oh, here's another headline from Zero Hedge. Trump asked Supreme Court to pause TikTok ban so he can negotiate a resolution. Art of the deal, art of the deal, art of the deal, art of the deal, art of the deal. Yeah. TikTok is a best friend for Trump from 2020. TikTok is one of the core pillars of a lot of the COVID psychological warfare and the BLM Antifa psychological warfare from 2020. Trump owes TikTok in a sense, or I should say the creep state does. And the creep state, via the bullshit artist Trump, is going to make sure TikTok does not go away. Spoiler alert. Next topic. So here's a quote from a Zero Hedge article about what's going on in the Ukraine. Russian gains are expected to slow as winter weather takes hold. Brothers and sisters, I said this in 2022. I keep repeating it because it's true. If the Ukraine war had been remotely real, it would have been over within 90 days, one way or the other. It would have been over with basically because the Kiev government would have collapsed, or it would have been over with because Putin would have been fucking dead. Anybody that studied Russian history, Soviet history, knows this. But by the way, if you've studied Russian military history, then you've heard of somebody called General Winter. Who is General Winter, Dan? Huh? Who is General Winter? He was at Moscow, December 1941, you fuck. He was in the form of T-34 tanks, you know, aluminum block, diesel, wide tracks, Christie suspension. That's a nice 73mm cannon you got there, you fuck. The Soviets launched their first major counteroffensive during the winter of 1941. The Russians have a history of waging war, going back 1,000 fucking years during the cold of winter. You ever hear of Alexander Nevsky, you fuck? This story goes back a long ways, you shithead, to the pillars, I should say, the wooden pilings of Novgorod, you fuck. Now tell me again, the Russian gains are expected to slow as winter weather... You know, you sound like you have a broken buvula, Zero Hedge. The Russians, how can I put this? His name is General Winter. And he fights as an ally. You go on the offensive, buddy. You tear them a new asshole. So tell me why the winter is the quiet time on the Eastern Front. The Russians train, have trained, for centuries for warfare in the wintertime. And this includes the modern period. Nothing about the Ukraine war makes any sense. If it was 110 years ago, World War II had never happened, I could understand it. But if you actually study World War I, you actually know that by 1917, the German army on the Eastern Front, and this is prior to the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk, the German army on the Eastern Front was already practicing combined arms warfare. Okay, warfare that is not focused on, what is the headline, taking some fucking random linchpin town? Putin's forces are currently surrounding another linchpin town. That sounds like taking out the ant's nest in 1916, which sounds fucking dumb. On the Eastern Front in 1917, the Germans were already experimenting with a kind of warfare that would replace attrition warfare for the next, I don't know, almost 100 fucking years. And then all of a sudden, what is it, 2022, Boblimpdoc, we forget about 100 years of combined arms warfare theory. That's weird. It's weird. A linchpin fucking town? Wow. Focus on that territory, Putin. That's what today's generation focuses on. Some linchpin fucking town. There's a hooker named Sadie. It's really dumb. The Ukraine war does not match anything that one would expect for combined arms warfare in 2024 or 2025. It'll be a 3-year war here pretty soon. It looks dumber and dumber as each day goes by. And when somebody has a quote like Russian gains are expected to slow in winter, I gotta shake my fucking head, brothers and sisters, because it contradicts every fucking book I read in grad school. It's just that fucking dumb, you know. That fucking shitty. Anywho, next topic, right, Dan? That's right, buddy. We love you too. Oh, here's another headline from, you know, Zero Hedge. Former State Department official David Asher, Americans will soon learn COVID origins truth. I bet they will. One last limited hangout. One last lie before we die. The FBI is sitting on a huge case file. Yeah. This is a limited hangout. If you want to spend time on the COVID at this point, what the fuck? Oh my God. Here's a prep story for good old Blump from Zero Hedge. The world order is dangerously in flux. What is not broken for the moment, a tenuous moment, is the new Trump regime's determination to correct the disorders of Western civilization. Oh my God. He is Orange Jesus, right? Here's another headline from Zero Hedge. Court blocks Biden from selling off portions of the southern border wall. Yeah. I mean, he's able to basically carry on an illegal war in the Ukraine and support Israel committing war crimes in Gaza, sending them a shit ton of 1,000-pound bombs. You know, to get to 100,000 tons of TNT, that's at least, you know, what is it? 100? 200,000 bombs? I don't know. The point is, yeah. But Biden can do that. He can support the war crimes in Israel, Gaza. He can support an illegal war. He does all this money laundering shit with his son. But he has to go to the court to deal with the border wall steal. If you believe a story like this, that's okay. I'm not going to use the R word. At this point, there is no point. But why do you believe this story? I mean, do you really think it would be that hard to just get rid of that shit? The government can't account for most of its shit. And it's not new. It's not new. So a lot of shit just falls off the back of the truck when it comes to the U.S. government. So tell me again, Puddle Flower, why is this even a fucking story? Yeah, think about Osama bin Laden and how he rests with the fishes. That's a... He sleeps with the fishes, Dan. He does. He keeps a lot of secrets down below. It is Sunday, December the 29th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. In a couple of days, it's going to be 2025. It's going to be spaceships and Bitcoin. It's going to be supercomputer. Going to be quantum. We're going to live forever. We're all going to have special cars. We're all going to fly to Mars. Elon Musk. He's gonna take us to the future in a couple days. Your brightest dreams will come true. I don't think that's how it's gonna play out. But between you and I, it's a wonderful lie.